Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Little Fish. This is the show where we put down our 4 favorite facts from the last 7 days and we go through the podcast at qi.com, email inbox, and cherry pick the best facts that you, the listener, have sent in. We get amazing facts every week, so if you do think of one, please send them in. And also, if you want to be part of our club, Club Fish, at the highest tier, you'll be getting something very special, as everyone does at the end of this episode, which is we hand out a fact for you to be the custodian of from the 12 years of our archive. So why don't we get into it? Why don't we get some facts? Who wants to go first?
Here's one that's from Domen Kolcek, and it's on our favorite subject at the moment.
Great.
We're putting together a book, as you guys know, of things that you think are named for one reason, but they're actually named for a different reason.
That's my second favorite subject, number one being people who paint things on the top of roofs. Yeah. But yes, go on.
You know what? Like, genuinely, when I'm doing my research for the main show now, I'm finding myself looking for these people.
I know.
They're so hard to find.
Well,
we need a book.
They've been flooding into the inbox. We do some of them on Drop Us a Line, and we're going to do, I think, probably keep doing some of them here. It's become a Little Fish in joke. Anyway, Domen writes, the online poker boom that became huge in the early 2000s was caused by the moneymaker effect.
Oh, and obviously, Chris Moneymaker.
Don't give away my punchline. It was named after 2003 poker champion Christopher Moneymaker,
right?
Who was an amateur who won the World Series of Poker.
Sorry,
in 2000 and
oh gosh, I don't know, like 2005.
It was 2003.
Okay.
And the Moneymaker effect was basically poker going mainstream, and obviously most of the people who got into it will have lost huge amounts of money by now. But
yes. How's Chris Moneymaker doing?
Well, he won the World Series of Poker, which I think is, does set you up reasonably well.
You would see him on, like, you know, when in those days you would have like quite a lot of TV poker games, and he'd kind of rock up on those every now and then. But he is a good poker player. Of course he was. He won the World Series of Poker. But like the people who came after him were quite a lot better, I think.
Are you familiar with the poker player Daniel Schreiber?
No, I'm not, actually.
He's who, like, owns the Daniel Schreiber without qualification on Wikipedia.
Daniel Schreiber.
So that's a different, that's not you.
It's a different,
I thought
Daniel
you were
Schreiber.
Saying I play poker.
Oh no, I played it once and I won and then I lost everything. I was sharked. I was absolutely decimated. Yeah.
Was it at that Daniel Schreiber convention you
it
went
was.
To?
Shouldn't have sat down with that guy. great. All right, James.
Interesting.
Go on.
Yeah, sorry for walking all over your
Please.
Friend there.
No, don't be daft.
But yeah, I was really into poker back in the day.
I remember.
Yeah, it was how I met my wife.
Yes.
And you won a fair and square.
Yeah, exactly.
She's called Daniel Schreiber, isn't she? It's very confusing, your work life and home life.
Okay, this fact is from Kev Osman. And Kev said that he was reading about the Winter Olympics held in Cortina, or they were, they've just finished, in northern Italy. And that was the old name of a Ford car. So he decided to write a quiz on where cars get their name from.
Ah.
Okay, and when he was doing that, he found that all Lamborghini car models except one are named for something related to bullfighting.
Are they?
Now, can you name a single
Matador?
Not a single bullfighting term, a single Lamborghini car.
Do you know what? The Lamborghinis are so rare and expensive that I just see, oh, it's a Lamborghini.
Really?
I would never say, I would be able to say, oh, look, there's a Skoda Enyaq or whatever.
I must admit, I only knew one. It's Lamborghini Diablo.
Oh.
And Diablo is a famous fighting bull, along with Temerario, Revuelto, Islero, Uracho, Uraco, all these words that I never really heard of. There's one called the Lamborghini Jarama, which is the area of Spain where fighting bulls are bred. and a few other ones. And the only exception is the Countach. Okay, Lamborghini Countach. And Lamborghini Countach comes from a Piedmontese dialect exclamation of astonishment. And it basically means, holy shit. And apparently the owner of Lamborghini saw this car's amazing design for the first time and went, holy shit. And then they went, we should call it that. Literally, Countach in Piedmont means plague. So, you know, in some countries, like, you use the name of an illness as like a swear word, like smallpox or...
Yep. Well, I'm always doing that.
Sniffly nose or whatever. Like, in some countries, that's quite big. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sorry, the car's name means plague.
It means plague, but like... Really, it means holy shit. It means wow.
Right. Okay. That's so okay. That's so funny. Lamborghini's Italian, right?
Yeah, they were Italian, weren't they?
Well, why are they Spanish bullfighting-y? What's that all about?
What's going on there?
Probably you can drive from Spain to Italy in one of their fantastically fast cars.
Yes, and if they would like to send us some. they were Italian, but I wonder if perhaps it sounds foreign and exciting.
Maybe, yeah.
Obviously, these days, bullfighting very much frowned upon.
Yes. Absolutely. You wouldn't want to turn up to a bullfight in a Lamborghini anyway.
No.
I feel like a determined bull could do some damage to your wing mirrors.
Not a red Lamborghini anyway. Yeah.
Lovely.
You know who I saw an interview with, friend of the podcast, Johnny Knoxville, recently, where he got really emotional about the fact that he's now at an age and his body has gone through so much that he can no longer have pranks done with bulls active life, but like properly got emotional, started crying. Like it was a real tragedy in his life.
I can't be gored by a bull anymore. Yeah, I've got a little bone to pick with Johnny, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, because I read the other day that there's a new Jackass coming out.
Yeah.
And I think they might have already filmed it.
Yeah.
But I have a contract that says I'm going to be in that film.
Yes.
Oh, because when he was on... So I was away for this episode, but he was on.
He was on the show, and we made a joke about I could be in the next Jackass. Mm. And then the next day, he sent me a contract saying I agree to be in the next Jackass, and I returned it to him. And I was expecting the call. I was expecting to be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in a few years as the guy who got speared by a bull.
Yeah.
You should send him one of your balls in protest that you've accidentally lost in some hideous Jackass-style prank. That'll show him.
Yeah, that'll show him.
Speaking of bulls, I've got a fact here, which was sent in by Robbie Brennan, who says LeBron James recently ended... So LeBron James is a basketball player, Andy.
that was for both of us.
But I like the way you said that, as if every listener knows who he is. Literally everyone. But there is one person who does need to know.
So he recently ended a record streak of consecutive games played where he scored 10 plus points.
And that's good.
It's very good. Yeah.
It's better than losing 10 points, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, what's phenomenal about this is that this record is longer than the career of every other currently active NBA player. So the amount of games added together was 1,297 games.
He's got at least 10 points in every one of those.
10 in every single one of those. And he is the longest active basketball player, I think, in history. He's played 23 seasons.
Well, they're all long, aren't they? They're very tall, tall fellas and gals.
Yes. But he's been in for 23 seasons. The streak.
That's nearly 6 years.
What?
There are four seasons in a year.
Jesus.
Okay. Maybe just sit down for a sec.
Someone's got to speak to the non-sporting listener. A lot of our listeners like being indoors with a nice cup of tea and a book. I speak for them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many of those enjoy your interjections either. That's really interesting.
Yeah,
so I think what it says to me is how easy it is to score points in basketball.
Yeah,
like that's the problem. It's
such
like
a change response.
Like the scores are always like 97-86 or something.
Yeah,
in basketball, aren't
there are a lot.
Like you don't get a nice 0-0 like you do in football.
Yeah, a satisfying 0-0. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a pretty astonishing run from January 5th, 2007 to December 4th, 2025. He always scored 10 points or more in a game.
Ironically, you're not allowed to run in basketball.
Yes.
With the ball.
Oh, with the ball. Yeah. I do know that. Yeah. I do know that.
But that's a sort of example of an interjection that works really nicely, kind of contributes.
I would say that I am in the middle of maybe a 600 episode run of this show where I've made at least 10 stupid interjections every single show.
Anyway, very cool. That's an astonishing, if you know basketball, like I'm a big fan of basketball, that's a wild achievement.
Is he beyond the age at which he can still safely be gored by a bull, LeBron James?
He's younger than Johnny Knoxville.
He'll be younger than Johnny, but he's
younger than me, I would say.
Yeah.
He must be in his early 40s.
He's like Djokovic, you know? We don't know how much more we're getting.
Sure.
It should have ended already, but we've...
So is he substantially older than he's much older than most other players on the court.
I would say so.
But that's tricky though, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, it's just tough to find things to talk about with your teammates.
Oh yeah.
They're all talking about tickety tucks and
absolutely. And you're trying to talk about the, you know, you don't get those good tartan slippers anymore, do you?
He's 41.
Okay.
So I'm older than him by like 6 months.
I'm younger than him, but so we're saying there's still a chance for me.
Oh yeah.
As in, you know, we don't know if I'm incredible at basketball.
Whereas he's probably past his prime of making tedious interjections.
They're tedious now?
No, they were always tedious.
Okay.
Let's get to another fact.
Andy. Here's one from Noah Gettle. We haven't had a really good weird animal for a little while, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Noah writes, well, Noah claims that we haven't. He says our biology game's really dropped off recently.
Oh,
Does
he have two of this one? Because he's called Noah.
Amazing. Yep, good.
And I don't want to drill it home, but that's a wonderful interjection once again.
Well, Noah writes, there is a group of insects in the genus Stylops, that parasitize bees, okay? And what's bizarre is the females live their entire lives inside the abdomens of the hosts. Males develop wings, and they fly around looking for a bee that's carrying a female. And the female has stuck her neck out between two sections of the bee and is releasing a pheromone into the air to draw in a male. Females never leave home. They never really interact with the males who they're mating with. The male just arrives, I'm afraid, does traumatic insemination.
Yeah, just starts stabbing where he can.
Just sort of,
right,
you know, in it
mostly
goes.
Mostly in the head.
Yeah, there's very few niceties here. They have a sort of neck pocket. And then the offspring hatch and they eat the mother pretty much alive. They cannibalize the mum.
Wow. Yeah.
And then they leave.
I know about these guys.
Do you?
Yeah, and also they will make the bee turn into a queen, kind of. Really? But fly off to where the queens go because all the other bees also fly there for mating. So you get a big bunch of bees together. Mm. And then... because there's loads of bees together, that's how they can jump from one host to the next host.
I'm really surprised by what the insect world does and doesn't notice in those kind of situations.
Yeah.
Like if one of us came in and just had a bit of a parasite sticking out our neck.
It's big for them.
And no one says anything. It's just a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
That's just normal to the other bees and to the bee itself.
Because not only do you have a parasite sticking out of your bum or whatever, but you've also got another parasite sort of flying around, stabbing it in the head, mating with it.
Mm.
Just feel like in a party, that is going to draw some attention.
Yeah. It's going to be gossip, isn't
Cramp
it?
Your style. Yeah.
Did you see Brian last night?
Yeah, so thank you, Noah.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing, James.
Here is another one about animals. Not a weird animal, but an animal nonetheless. This is from Kellen Maguire, and it's about groundhogs. Kellen wrote about America's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, who every year rank the accuracy of all the groundhog prognosticators who are going to work out whether it's going to be a sunny spring or a rainy spring.
I thought it was just Punxsutawney Phil from the film Groundhog Day.
He's the one who got all the plaudits because he was in the movie. But actually, there's loads of these guys sort of working away behind the scenes. There are 13 live groundhogs, 3 taxidermied groundhogs, 1 statue of a prairie dog, 1 tortoise, and 1 presumed groundhog who has only been seen by a few people, and they're not sure whether he actually exists or not.
Crypto groundhog. Dang, get on it.
Yes, that's so good.
And it turns out that even though he's the famous one, Punxsutawney Phil is one of the least accurate one. So he's only managed to correctly predict February and March temperatures 35% of the time. And the only one worse is Mojave Max, who's a tortoise in Nevada.
That's correct.
He's 20% of the time.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Well, that's just fame going to Punxsutawney Phil's head, isn't it?
It probably is. Like, it's just, it's so typical, isn't it? Like, the real talented ones never really get the good gigs.
Yeah. Whereas the people who keep making tedious interjections are, you know, showered with praise by their colleagues who value them. You know, yeah.
Can I tell you about another prognosticator that I learned about?
Yeah.
So this is Annie Charlotte, a Tottenham Hotspur supporter with a rare anatomical condition in that she has two vaginas. And in recent years, the tabloids in the UK always seem to ask her when there's a football match who's going to win.
I'm dreading to think what her method is.
Can we work it out? What would you do with two vaginas?
I cannot tell. Like, she doesn't give the real details.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a vibe. I don't really know how she does it, but she says she uses her anatomy to work out what's going to happen.
Right.
And she said that in the recent Tottenham-Arsenal game, she predicted that Spurs were going to beat Arsenal and that Arsenal would bottle the league and fail to win the Football League. We don't know what will happen in the league yet, but Spurs did not win that game.
Right.
Arsenal won.
Yes.
Up the Arsenal.
Yeah. I'm so glad you stopped when you said you think it's a vibe, because I thought you were going to extend a vibrator there.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's a feeling that she gets. It's really uncertain what she does, but she has become a bit of a meme in the tabloids in the last few years.
I feel it in my fingers.
Is that a wet, wet, wet joke?
It is.
Oh, no.
It wasn't meant to be.
This is a fact sent in by Warwick Poole, who says, I believe you once mentioned Insane Clown Posse, but here's a fact for you. Before they were a huge success, Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope from Insane Clown Posse used to steal car stereo systems to support themselves. Once they stole a car radio, which actually had one of their own Insane Clown Posse tapes loaded into it.
That's
they felt
nice.
Bad and apparently reinstalled it back into the fan's car. Yeah. And there's an interview where you can see them talking about it. But yeah.
So they were still stealing car stereos even after they had music released.
Not all bands just become massive, right? They probably made tapes that they were selling at the end of gigs and so on.
Right.
And so yeah, they just happened to have stumbled across a fan of their stuff. Quite a cool thing to see when you're robbing it. You know, it'd be like us mugging a house and seeing a Fish poster on the wall.
A house. How are you doing that?
What do you say? You say
robbing a house.
You don't mug it.
Burglarizing in America.
Absolutely. You don't mug a house. You burgle a house or you rob it.
You
mug a person on the move.
This is why we've never got around to doing it. It's the language hasn't been agreed on.
Right, balaclava's off. What are we saying? What's our terminology here?
No, come back, Shaggy 2 Dope.
What are you in for, mugging a house? No, you were robbing. Oh, man, that's very exciting. I've got another Insane Clown Posse fact, which is that... Because the Insane Clown Posse was a band that has a lot of controversy about them throughout the years.
Well, if your main members are called... What was it? Violent Dave?
Violent J.
J.
Violent Dave.
There's nothing inherently worse about Violent Dave than Violent J. I'm standing by it.
Yeah.
Dave, the thing is, like, we did want you to change your name, but it was the Dave part that was the problem. And simply adding Violent, like, your surname was great. We were happy with that.
Violent Dave. Naughty Tony, of course. Rude Paul.
Rude Paul. There's a great fact, which is that they were once on a Disney-owned record label. And so they released an album called The Great Malenko. And on the day of release, Disney kind of realized, hang on a second, we can't release this. It's full of graphic natured lyrics and so on. So they recalled the 100,000 shipped units of CDs, and it didn't come out through Disney in the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Controversial.
Gosh.
Anyway, hey, listen, let's put down these facts and why don't we get to the business of handing out custodianship to the members of Club Fish. So, as I said at the top, if you would like your own fact, you just need to join Friend of the Podcast, which is the highest tier of Club Fish. Go to patreon.com/clubfish and we will assign you a fact. We'll send you a digital certificate. It's very beautiful and you can put it on your wall. But on top of that, we're also going to give you a shout out now and let you and the wider public know which fact you are custodian of. So,
just before we do this, can I just add that if you do get your custodianship certificate and you do put it on your wall, we promise if we see it, we will not mug your house.
There we go. See, benefits. That's a further benefit of being part of this club. So why don't we get to our first one? Who's going to go?
I'll go. This one goes out to Violent Dave. And it's... No, this one goes out to Robert Marsh. Robert, your fact is that the Ministry of Defence owns 15 golf courses.
Very good.
Yep. Mm. Just in case a war breaks out on a golf course.
Nobody who likes golf could possibly be a warmonger. That's all I would say.
Yeah, it's just for President Trump to come and play and butter him up. Yeah. But that's good that his name is Robert Marsh, the new custodian of this fact, because a marsh is a bit similar to a golf course, isn't it?
Absolutely not.
Well, but it would be
outdoors.
They're both outdoors.
Oh yeah, can't deny that.
Well, you do indoor golf sometimes, don't you? That's really indoor marshes, probably not. Anyway, Robert, I hope you like the fact.
Okay, here is another one. This one is now under the custodianship of Sian Battersby. Sian, your fact this week, and forever, in fact, is that the rise in the use of female contraceptive pills is making fish too effeminate. Now, that's not the podcast. As in, it's not no such thing as a fish. This is the animal group. And it is that people were taking the pill and weeing out some estrogen, and the estrogen was finding its way into the rivers and into the fish indeed and making them more feminine.
Yes, and there was something about fish that they just start producing eggs. They stop producing sperm and start producing eggs.
Yeah,
Shift that over.
It does do that. And also I remember, I don't know if we mentioned this in this episode, but there's quite a lot of fish that have got a lot of cocaine in the system in the Thames, isn't there?
Yes, remember that's that? Right, yeah.
So basically, don't flush it down the loo. If you've got drugs and the police are coming.
Hoover them up, that's what we're saying.
Brilliant. All right. Well, here's another one. This is going out to Graham Binns. Your fact is that the actor Charles Hawtrey hoarded bedsteads in his house, thinking that one day he would make his fortune from them.
Amazing.
Now this is from Victoria Corin Mitchell.
Early victim of the moneymaker effect. Yes.
Yes. She was a guest.
Do we need to explain what a Charles Hawtrey is?
I think there's a few things in this sentence that might go over the head of some younger listeners.
Yes, or international ones. Charles Hawtrey was an amazing, brilliant comedy actor. He was in a series of British films called the Carry On films, which are much loved. I grew up watching them.
Haven't seen them for a while. I'm not convinced they would stand up to modern scrutiny.
I think maybe they might haven't aged terrifically. There was some very, very naughty, raunchy, rude British, like seaside postcard rudeness style comedy films. Yeah. And there was Carry On Cleopatra, and there was Carry On Cowboy, and Carry On Up the Khyber. That one was especially bad, actually.
And it was
thinking
like
about
Kenneth Williams and
Sid James. Charles Hawtrey, Hattie Jakes, Barbara Windsor.
Yes.
Amazing British comedy actors who were just in these incredibly ropey films, but that were kind of loved. And Charles Hawtrey was one of them, but apparently felt the need to collect bedsteads.
And a bedstead?
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, great fact. That was so Victoria Corin Mitchell came on that episode, and I still remember the absolute fury she had when I said that my favorite movie was Apollo 13.
Oh.
It like derailed the episode for quite some time. She just couldn't believe it. Your favorite film is Apollo 13.
Yes, what was hers? Carry On Camping or something?
I mean, she was annoyed enough that it was the wrong Daniel Schreiber sitting at the table. Andy?
Okay, this one goes out to Ashley. Ashley, your fact is that in 1937, you could visit Romford Dog Track and watch cheetahs racing.
Wow.
This was an experiment they did where they raced cheetahs against each other, and they, I think, showed no interest in racing because they saw this little mechanical rabbit.
They're like cats, aren't they?
They're just cats. They're very, very fast when they're very hungry and they need to prey on something. But I think they saw through it fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And you don't get so many dog tracks as you used to.
No, I also think the problem was that the jockeys were too heavy.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you, Andy. Okay. So here is another fact. This one is now under the custodianship of Sam Kirk. Sam, your fact is that in 2010, the US military built a supercomputer out of 1,760 PlayStation 3s. Mm. And what's exciting about this one is that just a couple of weeks ago, Levin Skyra mentioned this in a show, and I kept it in the edit because I'd forgotten we'd done this fact already. And here it is.
Here it is.
It was a great fact.
It's an amazing fact, yeah.
And they were doing it because it was cheaper, wasn't it?
It was cheaper. And what I didn't keep in the edit, and what Levin did explain, is that when you make a PlayStation, you sell it for cheaper than you make it, more or less, really, or cheaper than it should be. And that's because you want people to buy the console because then they'll buy all the games and stuff. So it's almost like a loss leader. And so actually the US military is getting a really good deal by buying these PlayStations and getting all the parts out of it because they're cheaper than they should really be.
Right.
That's great. That'll have allowed them to save a bob or two. And I'm sure they'll have put it to a good use.
All right. I'm going to read another one here. This is for Chris Daly. And your fact is now that in 1552, a man in England managed to shoot himself with a bow and arrow. That's pretty amazing.
I think his name was Henry
Pert.
Henry Pert. It was Henry Pert.
Yeah.
I've just looked in the archive. I was trying to remember with that. It wasn't Henry Perky. I nearly said Henry Perky. But Henry Perky invented shredded wheat.
Yeah.
Shot himself with a bow and arrow. That's very impressive. Was it a straight up and straight down?
Has to be a straight up and straight down.
Yeah.
How else is it going to work?
Trick shot off a few corners.
You know what? I have shot myself with a bow and arrow.
Here we go.
It was just a graze.
Thank goodness.
But when I learned how to do archery, there's lots of things you have to do and lots of things you have to remember. And one of the things I messed up, I can't remember what it was exactly, but it meant that when I let go of the arrow, it skimmed past my nipple and really, really hurt my nipple as it went through.
That's a heck of a flick.
Yeah. It was painful. And does this happen to everyone? And they were like, well, not really. You should have done what we told you.
Yeah, right.
So like I'd missed one of their instructions. But yeah, apparently it's relatively common at that.
Which is to put your nipples away.
And point the arrow away from your nipples.
Absolutely. Yeah. Use the pasties provided, sir. I've just had a look. Henry Pert did not fire. He was trying to fire an arrow straight up in the air, but apparently the bow lodged at its fullest extent. So I think it might have been one of those things where you're looking over the mouth of the cannon.
Oh,
so
dear.
Why hasn't the cannonball come out yet? Look, he shot himself with a bow and arrow to death. I mean, there's no good way of doing it.
Yeah.
Here's another one that goes out to Luke Frendo. Luke, your
Friendo of the podcast.
Friendo of the podcast. Oh, my God. That's it. Your fact is, until the mid-2000s, the best method for counting pandas was to sift through their poo.
And now this isn't if you're in the zoo and there's like three pandas in front of you. It's like one, two, three. It's like in the wild and you can't see them all. And
yeah, trying to do a census because it's very important to assess. And they had to just find poo and look for tooth marks on bits of undigested bamboo. And I'm sure nowadays it's all DNA these days, isn't it? It's all technology these days. We've lost so many of our traditions.
Okay, here's one more. This is now under the custodianship of Kevin Morrell. And Kevin, your fact is, since 2007, Wikipedian Brian Henderson has made 50,000 edits, changing comprised of to consists of.
Could not agree more.
Really?
With Wikipedian Brian Henderson there. That's what you say?
Fair enough. I feel like this has a story to it that I now can't remember, which is after the episode went out, I was saying he's going to be very annoyed because he can't change this one.
I see. So there was a Wikipedia which had all of our facts in it.
Yeah.
Was there?
That's it.
And so that means that there would be a comprised of in the in that list, right?
Exactly.
Bingo.
Yeah.
But
Bingo.
Does it exist anymore, that list of our facts?
No, it got taken down.
Why? By Brian Henderson, by any chance?
It could be.
It's got to be.
Brian, you win.
Put it back up, you scumbag.
All right, well, listen, we got to wrap up, but congratulations to Kevin, Luke, Chris, Sam, Ashley, Graham, Sean, and Robert. We hope you enjoy your facts. We hope you enjoy the digital certificate that you get along with it. And if you yourself want to be the custodian of one of our facts, you just have to go to patreon.com/clubfish and join the highest tier, friend of the podcast, and one of these could be yours. All right, everyone, thank you so much for sending in your facts. Please do send them in. We love doing this show, podcast@qi.com. We'll pick out another batch for next Monday. And you've also got a big fish coming this Friday. So we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.